Welcome to Lighthouse Niagara. I'm Nathan Dagan, leader of the tech team here at Lighthouse. We hope that this message speaks to you powerfully.
And I thank the Lord for his faithfulness to us in a simple thing where it says where two or three are gathered in his name, he is in their midst. This morning, the Lord is here and he desires to speak into your heart and into your lives that you would receive it. That you would receive it this morning. Praise God. This morning we have a special service. We have two babies being dedicated to the Lord. And we also have two individuals being set forth for ministry as part of dedication and consecration unto the Lord. So it's amazing how the Lord times these things out, because in the last few months, this date was designated. There was some shifting that took place, but you are here not by chance, and the things that are happening here this morning are not by chance, but they are directed by the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. Aren't you excited about that? Yeah, for sure. At the end of the service, not only these four individuals, young and old, will be dedicated to the Lord, but you will have an opportunity to consecrate and dedicate yourself to the Lord as well. This thing of consecration or dedication, from a biblical view, is a choice. It's obedience to the Lord, but it's also a choice that we make. Dedication or consecration is a choice that we make, and it has amazing and beautiful ramifications for our lives. In fact, if you've been struggling, if you've been going around in circles, it may be an issue of consecration or dedication before the Lord in your life. Two things. So number one, in dedication or biblical consecration, a choice is made by us to commit to the Lord and the ways of the Lord. To be holy, to be set apart for him. In the commitment, secondly, there is a recognition that we cannot be holy on our own. I want you to listen carefully. We can dedicate ourselves to the Lord, or say, I give myself over to the Lord, which is what we should do. But there is also an aspect of consecration and dedication that has to do with holiness, and we cannot be holy on our own. As hard as you may try, you cannot be holy on your own. As hard as you may try to be a good person, it cannot happen in your own strength. In fact, as good as you can be, your righteousness, our righteousness, my righteousness is like filthy rags before the Lord in light of his holiness. We have to recognize that. I know that sometimes we say, hey, you know what? I'm doing pretty good at this point. I've taken care of different issues in my life. There's changes that are taking place. And there's a rejoicing within your heart that you're overcoming. And I know for myself, oftentimes, the very same day as I was maybe rejoicing in my righteousness, I fell. I don't know about you, but going around in circles is not the way that I want to live my life. This morning, I want you to recognize, even as we will consecrate and dedicate individuals to the Lord this morning, that you would do that yourself as well. Lord, I give myself completely over to you. So, oftentimes, in this aspect of consecration or dedication, and this aspect of saying, I surrender myself to the Lord Jesus Christ. I surrender myself to Jesus Christ as Lord. Some of the problems that we face is that we don't at times want to give things up. Or the things that we've done in the past, even as an unbeliever, we just say, well, I can continue doing these things. And so we continue to do them. And sometimes even if we give them up or we try to give them up, we recognize it is so difficult to do things in our own strength and power. And so we struggle. Sometimes it's a matter of control. And I think there's extremes of the control we desire to have in our lives. Sometimes it's a thing of you've never depended on something or someone else, or if you have, you've been disappointed. And you're thinking that God is the same way when it comes to depending on Him. Sometimes we feel that God is the same way as people that we've depended on. They've let us down. And so we have a hard time in giving up control or the throne of our lives. We have a hard time of letting someone else, and in this case, God, Jesus Christ, be Lord in our life. We have a hard time, and as a result of that, we are attempting to do things and live life according to our own wisdom, our own strength and power, our own ideas and views. And then we run into this issue of life being like this. Just a cycle. It's like, oh, here we go again. Here I am again. This morning, that you would totally yield yourself to the Lord Jesus Christ. Totally. Not partially. Not just saying, well, I'm going to hang on to a few things. Because I've got a few treasures in my life. I'm just going to hang on to those things. And whenever I can take them out and I'm going to just enjoy these things of the flesh. I'm going to enjoy the things of the flesh. As we acknowledge the necessity of Christ's sacrifice for us on the cross, and you've heard me say this many times, and I'll continue to say it, if we don't acknowledge Jesus Christ and what He did for us on the cross, you will live a life like this. I know because I've experienced it in my life. Not just for a few months, I'm talking decades. It's going around and around because my faith was in myself and my own disciplines. The power of consecration to Jesus Christ as Lord allows for powerful things to begin to happen in our life as we tie in with His sacrifice for our lives. I want to go to an example, an Old Testament example, and I know I touched on this last year, but I want to go on to it because it talks about consecration, it talks about dedication, and it talks about what God will do as we not just consecrate something, but we consecrate ourselves to the Lord. So if you have your Bibles with you, I want you to turn to 2 Chronicles chapter 7 from verse 1. The first six chapters of 2 Chronicles, there is this working of building of the temple and the things that had to do with the temple that was being built and would be dedicated to the Lord and for the Lord. And in that temple, there were two parts. The second part that was only entered once a year by the high priest with blood was the meeting place of God. To meet directly with God. And it Again, it was only one time per year that the high priest, only one person, the high priest, was able to go in again with blood. So there was a dedicating now of this building. There was, no one had gone. After that Holy of Holies was set up and everything was set up in the temple, there was a dedication before the very first sacrifice was made. As the temple would get into operation, there was a dedicating of the temple and the altar itself. So I want to read through this, chapter 7, 2 Chronicles 7, verse 1. And I want you to know at this time, you say, well, how does that relate to me? I want you to know in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, it says that we as believers are the temple of the Holy Spirit. We, this body of ours, is a temple. It is a temple of the Holy Spirit. This relates graphically in the Old Testament very beautifully. It illustrates what should be within us. The other thing that I want to say is this. In the New Testament, in Revelation, it talks about the fact that we are kings and priests unto God. He's made us kings and priests. I'll read it in a moment. But let's just look at the Old Testament here and what happened. And with the consecration and dedication, it is then that God shows up. And we'll see the sacrifices, the part that the sacrifices had to play in this. And all the sacrifices that are mentioned here in the Old Testament, in fact, every single sacrifice and every single offering, the different offerings that were made to the Lord in the Old Testament, you say, well, I don't get this. They all point and are completed and finished in Jesus Christ and his sacrifice for us on the cross. All right, so just these things were a graphic illustration for them back then that their faith would not be in themselves or in rituals, but that their faith would be in the reality of who God is, what he's established, and what he's put into place. And so they were looking forward to the cross. We look back to the cross. Today, the title of this message, The Power of Consecration, or The Power of Dedication. When Solomon had finished praying, fire came down from heaven and consumed the burnt offerings and the sacrifices, and the glory of the Lord filled the temple. And the priests could not enter the house of the Lord because the glory of the Lord had filled the Lord's house. When all the children of Israel saw how the fire came down and the glory of the Lord on the temple, they bowed their faces to the ground on the pavement and worshiped and praised the Lord, saying, for he is good, for his mercy endures forever. So there were offerings that took place in chapter 6, and this is the result of the offerings that had already taken place. And then the king and all the people offered sacrifices before the Lord. King Solomon offered a sacrifice of 22,000 bulls and 120,000 sheep. So the king and all the people dedicated the house of God. Listen, we need to recognize the ultimate sacrifice of Jesus Christ on the cross for us daily. Can you imagine? 22,000 bulls, 120,000 sheep were sacrificed. That we would recognize if we want to dedicate ourselves to the Lord, if we want to consecrate ourselves to the Lord, we need to recognize his sacrifice for us in our lives, in the consecration, in the yielding to Jesus Christ as Lord. That Jesus Christ would be Lord in your life. That you would not continue on going through the motions. And the other thing that I want to say, and I want to reiterate this. The sacrifices and the offerings that were given, the five offerings, they all were leading or indicating the fact that there was stuff within us that should not be, and to remove those things, and that there would be relationship with God. The whole purpose was to have relationship with God, to be able to have direct contact with God. And that's the heart of God. God put this into place for a sinful people, or for sinners, or for those that even as much as we try to be righteous, our righteousness is not enough. And I just want to say to you, do not, as it says in Hebrews 10:26, it talks about trampling on the blood of Jesus. The Holy Spirit, I thank God for the Holy Spirit that convicts us. Doesn't condemn us, but convicts us. The conviction of the Holy Spirit is a good thing. The conviction of the Holy Spirit is very pointed. It is very specific. It isn't general. Like Satan says, the condemnation of the enemy, the accuser of the brethren, is beyond just specific. It is just a very broad blanket statement. You're no good for nothing. You're condemned. Whereas the Holy Spirit, the conviction of the Holy Spirit says, this thing here is detrimental to you. You need to get rid of it. And you can get rid of it. We get rid of it by the blood of Jesus, his sacrifice for us. Even as we confess that sin, it says he is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Don't continue to be in sin. Don't continue to practice sin. And I want to reiterate, as I have the last few weeks, if we continue on in our sin and we practice intentionally sin, not only do we trample on the blood of Jesus, it's worthless, but we will not inherit the kingdom of God. You will not make it. And I don't say that in judgment. I say that in warning, because I care about you. I love you. Do not continue on in sin. The practice of sin. You say, Pastor, but I've tried so hard. When you consecrate yourself totally to the Lord and tie it in with his sacrifice, my faith is in Jesus Christ and him crucified. He then helps us to overcome the things that are so hard for us. And I'm not just talking about sin. It's not just the sin of commission, the things that we do, but it's also the sins of omission. You say, what's the difference between the sins of commission and omission? Commission is the sins that we do. The sin of omission is the things that we should do that we don't do. And both of them are hard for us, whether it's like overcoming the temptations in our life or the things of not doing what we should do. And here the Lord is saying, oh, I want to help you. That's why there was 120,000 sheep sacrificed and 22,000 bulls, because there was a dedication of the temple before the Lord. There was an acknowledgement of the sacrifice of Jesus on the cross for us. I just say, thank you, Jesus. What an easy way, or an easier way to live. And the priests attended to their services, the Levites also with instruments of music of the Lord, which King David had made to praise the Lord, saying, for his mercy endures forever. His mercy to us, even as he begins a good work in us and he continues it right until the day of the Lord. Lord, I consecrate myself to you. I dedicate my life to you. I will serve you with all my heart, with all my soul, with all my strength, and even in the sacrifice that you made for me. There is this moving of the Holy Spirit that is within us to help us. You know, it talks about us grieving the Holy Spirit. We grieve the Holy Spirit by attempting to be righteous in our own strength. I know I tried for so long to be righteous in my own strength, and it did not work. And when I grabbed a hold of who Jesus is and what he did for me on the cross, suddenly there was a change that took place. And the things that were hard for me before, the things that were temptation, and I couldn't overcome, I began to overcome, because there is a way out with every temptation. There is no temptation that is not common to man. But with the temptation, and even with the burden of it, he has made a way of escape. And we need to grab a hold of the escape from the temptation, and it is Jesus Christ and him crucified. And the moment, listen, the power of the Holy Spirit works only through the cross. For the message of the cross, and I quote it many times, the message of the cross is foolishness to those that are perishing. Whatever. But it is the power of God to those that are being saved. Not just were saved, but are being saved today. I just say thank you, Lord, for the power of the Holy Spirit as I totally yield myself to you. I'm not going to do my own thing. I'm not going to operate in my own strength. I'm going to operate in the strength and the power and the wisdom of the Holy Spirit that lives within me. I'm not going to grieve the Holy Spirit. I'm not going to quench the Holy Spirit in my life. Another passage talks about the fact that we shouldn't quench the Holy Spirit. We shouldn't resist the Holy Spirit, but allow the Holy Spirit to have his way in our life. And again, the Holy Spirit is free to move only as we tie our consecration to the Lord Jesus Christ our Lord, with his sacrifice for us by faith. It's not a complicated thing. Don't make this difficult, man. Simple. It is a thing of choice. It is a thing of faith to trust. Let's continue on with this illustration. His mercy endures forever as our heart and our faith is in the sacrifice, not in ourselves. This thing of the temple is a place, the meeting place with God. Right on the Ark of the Covenant, between the wings, the cherubim that were over the lid. So there was a lid over. It probably wasn't hinged like this. But on the top of the Ark of the Covenant, there was two angels, cherubim, with their wings stretched out to each other, made of one piece of gold, fashioned out of one piece of gold. And it was this, the whole thing was covered. The acacia wood was covered with gold. And there was this place. And the meeting place was right here. The Lord says, I'm going to meet you right here. And the high priest would come in only with blood once a year. And he'd sprinkle the blood of the sacrifice that was made on the altar before he could come in. Was sprinkled on the mercy seat. This is the mercy seat. His mercy endures forever for you, for me. It's not only the high priest. We are priests. We can come into the presence of God at any point. And the Lord says in Hebrews 10, verse 19, he says that we should come in boldly. Let's come in boldly into his presence daily. I just say, thank you, Lord. You reside within me to commune with you daily. And it happens as we consecrate ourselves to the Lord. We dedicate ourselves, this house, as a temple of the Holy Spirit. Furthermore, Solomon consecrated the middle of the court that was in front of the house of the Lord, the temple. For there he offered burnt offerings and the fat of the peace offerings, because the bronze altar which Solomon had made was not able to receive the burnt offerings, the grain offerings, and the fat. All of that. He had to consecrate another area because there were so many sacrifices that took place in the dedication of the temple. And the altar, which was huge. You can read of the size of the altar in Solomon's that Solomon made, was much larger than the altar that was in the Mosaic Tabernacle, or by the Mosaic Tabernacle. But it wasn't large enough. the sacrifice. Remember the sacrifice in dedication. At that time, Solomon kept the feast 7 days and all Israel with him, a very great assembly from the entrance of Hamath to the brook of Egypt. Like, we're talking millions of people came for that dedication for 7 days. And on the 8th day, they held a sacred assembly, for they observed the dedication of the altar 7 days. The temple, 1 day. The altar is where all the sacrifices were made. They dedicated for 7 days. Let that be for you, for me as well. The recognition of the importance of the sacrifice of Jesus Christ on the cross for us. Lord, I give myself to you. Listen, the Lord does not only want to do things in your life powerfully, but he wants to do things through your life. We don't understand the goodness of the Lord, not just for us, but man, that there would be things flowing through us to minister to others, others that have no life. I'm talking spiritually. They may be very wealthy. They may have everything, say, oh man, they're well off. But they are dead in trespasses and sin. They will spend eternity apart from God unless they recognize the sacrifice of Jesus Christ in their life. We can bring that message in these last days. Hallelujah. So they observed the dedication of the altar 7 days. We're talking millions of people there. And the feast 7 days. On the 23rd day of the 7th month, he sent the people away to their tents, joyful and glad of heart for the good that the Lord had done for David, for Solomon, and for his people Israel. Thus Solomon finished the house of the Lord and the king's house, and Solomon successfully accomplished all that came into his heart to make in the house of the Lord and in his own house. Now, the Lord recognizes what our faith is in, and he will reveal himself to you in powerful ways and personal ways, uniquely and distinctly for you. To you. It's not like a blanket thing. No, it's specific to you. Look at what happens here in verse 12. Then the Lord appeared to Solomon by night and said to him, I have heard your prayer and have chosen this place for myself as a house of sacrifice. I've chosen this as a house of sacrifice, and I've heard your prayer. His prayer before was, hey, Lord, what happens if we don't serve you? What happens if we move away from you? What happens when we forsake you? What happens when the enemy comes and all these different things? And he gives scenario after scenario after scenario. And the Lord is saying, I heard your prayer, Solomon. I've heard your prayer, and I have chosen this place for myself as a house of sacrifice. When I shut up heaven and there is no rain, or command the locusts to devour the land, or send pestilence among my people, why? Because they have turned away from him. If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and I will forgive their sin and heal their land. Hallelujah. Now my eyes will be open and my ears attentive to prayer made in this place, or that you may cry out to the Lord. Maybe you fall away or you slip and you're in a different place that you know you shouldn't be. As you turn to him, trusting in the sacrifice of Jesus Christ for you, you confess your sins, you turn from your wicked ways, as you humble yourself, as you pray and seek his face, he will hear from heaven. He will forgive the sin, and he will heal your land His eyes will be open to you, his ears attentive to your prayers made to him. For now I have chosen and sanctified this house, that my name may be there forever, and my eyes and my heart will be there perpetually. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So this thing of dedication, there's different tenses of the Hebrew. And one tense of a word is a noun, can be, is kal, or means a noun. But the word consecrate, kadash, is to sanctify, to prepare, to dedicate, to be hallowed, be holy, be sanctified, be separate, to be set apart, be consecrated, to be hallowed. The verb tense of this is to set apart, to devote, to consecrate as a verb, to regard as sacred or hallow. And so that's what we're going to do this morning. There's going to be a consecration, a dedication that's being that would take place of two little baby girls this morning. Do you want change in your life? Do you want change in your life? Let me just say this. There might not be bad things happening in your life, or the things that you're doing. You know, I'm serving the Lord, or I'm a child of God, and so I'm not really doing bad things. I'm not. But this thing that I mentioned, the sin of omission, it's the things that I'm not doing that I should be doing. Oftentimes, the sins of commission is like, okay, they're becoming fewer and fewer and fewer. I'm no longer practicing. The things that the Holy Spirit points out to me, I'm dealing with by the power of the Holy Spirit as my faith is in Jesus Christ. He's taking care of it all for me. I recognize that, I acknowledge it. And so even when the temptations come, I'm resisting. I'm looking for a way of escape. But the other side of it is this, Lord, let me be who you've created me to be. It says we are his workmanship. He designed us. He made us, again, uniquely to be you. You are unique. There's not two of you. There's not two of me. There's only one of you. And it was fashioned, created in Christ Jesus for good works that were prepared beforehand that we would walk in them. At this time, there might need to be a refining and a purifying within you as you dedicate yourself, Lord, forgive me. But I believe that more so, the things that God has in store for you to do would be filled before your time here on earth is done or before the Lord comes. Lord, let your will be fulfilled in my life. Hallelujah. So if you want change in your life, consecrate yourself to the Lord. In other words, give yourself completely to Jesus Christ as Lord in your life. Not my will, Lord, your will be done. Be seated on the throne of my life. And with that, acknowledge the sacrifice of Jesus Christ for you that makes you holy. In 1 Corinthians 1:29, it says that no flesh, no person should glory in his presence or boast in his presence. But of him, of God, you are in Christ Jesus, who became for us wisdom from God. Jesus Christ became the wisdom from God. Grab a hold of Jesus Christ if you want wisdom from God. Not just wisdom, he also became righteousness and sanctification and redemption, that as it is written, he who glories or boasts or rejoices, let him rejoice or boast in the Lord. Can we boast in the Lord? Can we rejoice in the Lord for our lives? Absolutely. Let it be as we trust in Him, as we place our faith in Him, as we dedicate and consecrate ourselves completely to Him. He's our sanctification. In other words, Jesus is our purifier. He is our purification to make us right before God. And sanctification, interestingly enough, by definition of the Greek word, hagiasmos, and I know I'm not pronouncing it right, but the first part of it says, the effect, sanctification is the effect of consecration. I just say, thank you, Lord. The effect of me consecrating my life to Jesus, to be Lord of my life, my faith is in Him, the effect of that consecration is sanctification, which is the purifying that takes place within me. I become more and more like Jesus. Now you might say, hey, Pastor, aren't we saved by the moment we give our life to Jesus and we allow Him to come in, we confess our sin? Absolutely. In fact, we are robed with clothes of righteousness. Robes of righteousness. And so we are put into right standing with God. But there is a work that needs to continue on in us. Let me tell you, I know. Because I haven't arrived yet. Neither did Paul arrive. He says, I haven't apprehended, but I press on to the mark of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus, through Christ Jesus. I'm going to press on. And so we know, we can be confident of this very thing. The one that began a work in me and in you the moment you gave your life to Jesus will continue it right until the day of the Lord. And if you want, so that your life isn't like this, it's like, oh, consecrate yourself to the Lord. Consecrate yourself to the Lord and let the sacrifice, let the altar. You might say, what's the altar? The altar is the cross, and the sacrifice on the altar is Jesus Christ. He was the Lamb of God that was slain for us. Hallelujah. It's like, oh my goodness, I can live each day from the rising of the sun to the going down of the same, that His name and His sacrifice would be great in my life today. Today. For you. Today. Oh man, it's so much easier. Oh, I tried so hard to be a righteous person. It was impossible. I get it when Paul says, oh wretched man that I am. Who's going to deliver me from this body of death and of the flesh and of sin? Who's going to deliver me? I thank God through Jesus Christ, our Lord. I commit myself to you, Jesus. For you see your calling, brethren, that not many wise according to the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called. But God has chosen the foolish things of the world to put to shame the wise, and God has chosen the weak things of the world to put to shame the things which are mighty of this world, and the base things of this world and the things which are despised God has chosen, and the things which are not to bring to nothing the things that are. And I already read this passage, that no flesh should glory in His presence. But of Him you are in Christ Jesus, who became for us wisdom from God and righteousness and sanctification and redemption, that as it is written, he who glories, he who boasts, let him boast in the Lord. Oh, man. I don't have to boast. I'm not boasting in myself. I know who I am. I know my weaknesses. I know my flaws. And if you have spent any time with me, you'll see those weaknesses and flaws eventually. I thank God that I boast in Jesus Christ, my Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I beseech you, Therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service, the least we can do. Lord, I give myself to you completely. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. What I shared with you, grab a hold of it. Let it change the way you think and the way you conduct yourself. It is the Word of God. This is not my opinion. This is not my ideas. This is the Word of God that I'm giving to you this morning from Him. So let there be a transformation take place by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God for your life. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So we consecrate ourselves to Jesus Christ as Lord completely. We trust in Him by faith. It is at that point true worship. The Lord is looking for true worshipers. When we give ourselves completely to Him, it becomes true worship to Him. And what a beautiful thing that worship doesn't just take place on a Sunday morning as we praise and worship the Lord, but it takes place every day of the week and every moment of the week, because we are that living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto the Lord. We've given ourselves, we've consecrated ourselves to Him. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God did not consider it robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a bondservant and coming in the likeness of men. And being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross. Here we have it. The altar, the cross, and his death on the cross, his sacrifice. Therefore, and this is what God recognizes, God the Father recognized that the things, the condemnation, all the guilt, and everything that we have broken, every law that was broken, every commandment that was not kept, was taken care of by Jesus Christ on the cross. Therefore, God also has highly exalted him, Jesus, and given him, Jesus, the name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow, of those in heaven, of those on earth, and of those under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. You know what? When we bow our knee to Jesus Christ, and we say, Jesus, you are my Lord. I bend my knee to you. You are my Lord, not me. I am not in control. You are in control of my life. It brings glory to the Father. It brings glory to the Father through Jesus Christ. That there would be a glory that goes up. That we would bend our knee. That we would confess with our mouth that Jesus Christ is Lord. The blessing to have that good and acceptable and perfect will of God accomplished in our lives. It says, God, but God, who is rich in mercy, doesn't matter your past. Even as we believe in Jesus Christ, He is rich in mercy because of His great love with which He loved us, even when we were dead in trespasses, has made us alive together with Christ. By grace, you have been saved. It's nothing that you could have done that I could do. It is only the grace of God. And He's raised us up together and made us sit together in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come, He might show the exceeding riches of His grace and His kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. It starts on this side of heaven and it will continue for all eternity. It's like, oh, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Therefore, for by grace, You have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is a gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which were prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. Man, does God have something for you? It's like, thank you, Jesus. I just want to finish with this. Now, may the God of peace, who brought up our Lord Jesus from the dead, that great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant, testament, will. Through the blood of the everlasting will of God. That's what a covenant is. Make you complete in every good work to do his will, working in you and in me what is well-pleasing in his sight through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. Hallelujah. What he has for you as you dedicate yourself to him. He desires, let me read that second verse again. And this is through the blood of the everlasting covenant. What is he talking about there? He's talking about his body broken and his blood shed for us. And it's through that, this covenant, this will accomplished through Jesus Christ and what he did for us on the cross, his death. Listen, a will does not come into effect until the person that wrote the will dies. We have a will. Julie and I have wills. They're the same. And there's beneficiaries that are mentioned in that will. The beneficiaries of our will, which would include all that we own, our assets and all our savings and whatever, when we pass, are given over to them, are divided amongst the beneficiaries. This does not take place until we die. Now, the beautiful thing is this, regarding Jesus Christ, he died and he rose again. And so what he has for you in this New Testament, the Old Covenant was pointing towards the cross, and the New Testament is the fulfillment of the law and the prophets. And so his will, again, let me read Hebrews 13:21. Through the blood of the everlasting covenant, make you complete in every good work to do his will. It'll only happen as we consecrate ourselves, Lord, as we dedicate ourselves, Lord, as we yield ourselves, Lord, with our faith remaining in the finished work of Jesus Christ for us on the cross. Make you complete in every good work to do his will, working in you what is well-pleasing in his sight through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. Jesus Christ will receive all glory forever and ever. Praise God.
Thanks so much for joining us. We hope that message spoke to you powerfully. Check us out online at lighthouseniagara.com, where we live stream every Sunday morning at 10 a.m. God bless.